Welcome back. My guest this week is the comedy actress Kerry Howard. She played Laura in the BBC Three comedy series Him and Her, and Leanne in Witless. And she is a very, very, very funny actress. She, all her bones are funny. Fun fact, she is also the sister of the stand-up comedian Russell Howard, who she mentions a little bit later on. And she has recently become a single mum. And I thought it would be particularly interesting to talk to her because it's not a subject we've really covered before. And also she actually happens to be really nice and funny. So, you know, I wasn't just, she's not my token single mum. I hope you will very much enjoy this episode because I did. And when she first came in to talk to me, we cast our minds back to where she was at when she first had her first baby.
2 years after our marriage, we got pregnant, or had baby, had our eldest child. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I felt so ready, and everyone around me, weirdly, were like, are you sure? Because you're not really established.
What, in your career?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and like, I think my agent at the time was not really happy about it because she'd only just sort of got me out of because I was new to her, really, and it was
right.
Her time to sort of like make money with me.
Yeah, sure.
And then I told her I was pregnant. She's like, great. It was like that sort of delayed, like, fuck. And then I got benched. Then I literally, for most of my pregnancy, did not work.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll do radio, I'll do anything,
yeah.
A play.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't book a job.
Really?
And then at 8 months, I don't know whether it was the hormones, but I was like, I'm going to get a new agent. And started like, don't go for interviews with new agents at 8 months pregnant. Like, that's insane. Especially like the month before you might get nominated for a BAFTA. And I literally just had met a couple of people, went, okay, I'll go with you. And then like a month later, I got nominated for a BAFTA. And I was like, I should have stayed. I mean, like, everything happens for a reason. But like, that would be a big advice. Like, don't move jobs like a month before you're about to have a baby.
And why should you not move agents before having been nominated for a BAFTA? Is that an obvious question?
I can't, because who can predict that? That wasn't even in my head.
No.
But, like, I was with a really good agent, and, like,
you
know, and
okay.
They could have really made that.
I see. And you kind of went with anybody.
Yeah. I went with these two young, happy people that were so sort of like, oh my God, we love you.
Yeah.
And I would have been like their big fish whilst I was a small fish on the other side.
Yes,
and,
right.
And like my ego, like I guess I'd felt sort of I just felt like isolated and not important.
Yeah.
And I had these two young agents like making me feel like number one.
Yeah.
And at 8 months, you kind of like, you're desperate
for
any recognition.
And also I think there's something about being that pregnant where you're wanting to sow the seeds, the future seeds.
Mm.
So it's almost part of nesting, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Like,
where you're like, I'm going to get a better agent or an agent that works better for me.
Yeah.
And right, okay, yeah.
Set myself up. That's going to set up my kids.
Yeah.
I'll be fine.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This
yeah.
train keeps moving.
Yeah.
No.
Doesn't go like that.
No, it doesn't. No.
And so, so was parenthood what you expected it to be initially?
The weird thing is, as soon as Wes was born, it was like an aha moment for me.
Right.
Like, I think I'm one of those women that should have had a baby at 20.
Right.
It galvanised me. It gave me purpose. Before, I spent most of my 20s feeling depressed. I didn't work enough to be out of work, you know, and I wasn't very good out of work.
Yeah.
I'd busy myself, but I didn't have enough stuff going on.
Yeah.
I should have had a part-time job whilst instead of being unemployed and feckless.
Yeah.
But then when Wes came along, suddenly I was busy. I was busy all the time, yeah. and I had this mountain of love for this little tiny creature, and I was good at it.
Yeah.
I was it was the first time that I was like, I am a brilliant mum. I just had that like confidence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know where it came from, possibly because my mum is an amazing mum. So it's just nurture, like sort of overspilling.
You remember that.
I remember it.
Yeah.
And I valued it because she was a stay-at-home mum.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling like that was a privilege to have her do that. So when I was at home and not working, it just felt like, well, I'm doing what my mum did for me.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I'm sacrificing anything because I've still got my little lovely career that's just lovely and part-time.
Yeah.
But now it made sense.
Yeah, yeah.
My part-time existence made sense when I was before kids.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense. Yeah. I should be working all the time.
Yes, right.
But it didn't. And, you know, and now it's beautiful.
It's the right size.
Yeah, it's the right size for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, please don't make me be successful because that would ruin my like my life-work balance. Like, what I've got now is so working.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yes, a fear of change now. I'm like... Like, I love ensemble work because I'm like, brilliant, not too much.
Well, that's what lots of people say, which is that actually doing stuff like that is really good because you're only ever needed for like a couple of days here and there. Mm. And also, when you see a really good ensemble piece, like it just looks like the most fun thing to be part of, doesn't
it? Yeah, you're part of a gang again.
Yeah,
and it's like going back to sixth form.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get to be like Kerry and you get to be silly and fun.
Yeah.
I'm like one of those dickheads that thinks they're like 18 when they're on set.
Yeah.
And now I'm realising that I'm getting like older and I'm not that young girl anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I still feel like an ingenue when I go on set. Yeah. I still feel like the young girl.
That you've just kind of somehow landed there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of glad that I have that energy and I feel like that. Grateful, but at some point it's going to look ridiculous when I'm like 80 going, oh, hello.
Hi, guys.
Is this how a set works?
So what's going on here?
What's that piece of electric you're holding? Ooh.
You're now divorced from the father of your children.
Yes.
How old were your kids when you first split up?
So my youngest was 8 months and my oldest was 4. So it was...
Take me through that. That must have been really hard.
I mean, it wasn't premeditated. I had a text and I suddenly just my whole gut felt sick. We were supposed to be moving into a house and I just was paralysed. I could not envision my life going any more forward with this person. Yeah. I just wasn't happy. And I needed to breathe again. And I lost who I was. Mm-hmm. I'd so sort of gone down the rabbit hole of being the best mum I can be to these children that I'd lost who I was. There were suggestions that you need to go on holiday without your children. And for me, I'm like, no. When I go to work, I'm removed from my family completely. Yeah. That's my sacrifice. That's my one moment where I do like step away.
Yeah.
I'm not going to then implement that in my family life.
No.
My family never did that. And my aunties and uncles never holidayed without the children.
No.
I just think this gets me on a whole rant about modern parenting and everyone wanting to have it all and have their brunch and have their social life and the baby's just in the corner. And it's just like, sometimes babies don't want to be in a restaurant for 3 fucking hours.
No,
it's not fun for them. You know, you can have it, but just like bite-sized pieces, and you kind of have to let go of the FOMO. Like, you made a decision to make children, and you're going to miss out on all the other stuff that you had before.
But you're going to gain so much in another way.
You're going to like grow as a human being.
You're right. It's an incredible pressure that we all in different ways, I think, put on ourselves in terms of, I know that there are times where I sort of want to have it all. And, you know, but...
I blame Instagram. Like,
yeah,
it makes you know, see these super mums and you just think, God, they're out and they're with the kids and they're making pastries and they're
but
working.
They're not.
But they're not.
If they're big ones, they're just like, you know, I mean, that's the most sort of depressing thing about a lot of those people is that they're not having the experience. Someone's taking a photo of them with it with kneading dough, but that never gets made into a thing.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Like,
it's actually all totally fake.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also I think, you know, the whole thing of having kids is often that you and your partner, you know, me and my husband had quite different experience. Well, you know, some ways similar, but like quite different experiences of our childhoods.
But you never have that conversation, do you?
No.
Like, and it's a really important conversation to have before you get pregnant.
Yes, but also,
what was your childhood like?
Yeah, but also, even if you did, at that point, you would find the things that were similar.
Mm.
So, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing. You wouldn't see. So I know that, for instance, I would say intellectually, oh, in terms of like how I want to parent my kids, I'd be very much like, I'm not their friend. I'm there, you know, I'm there to kind of make them a good human and, you know, all that kind of thing. In reality,
no,
I'm a total softie. I'll give them whatever
they
want.
Yeah, please like me.
Yeah, please like me, please like me. Let's play. That's what I am.
Yeah.
But I would, if we'd had that conversation before, I would have said, oh no, I'm going to be, you know, my mum was quite a strict Scottish mother. Absolutely. Was very much like, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, bloody, bloody, blah. Yeah. I am like, marshmallow mum just going, do you not like that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you've got a 2 and a 3-year-old, so you're dealing with crazy.
That's
they
true.
They are irrational.
Yes,
like they
this
are
is
not
also true.
They are insane people.
Yes,
like it's
yes.
like working in an asylum.
Yes,
it really is. Yes. With a 2 and a 3-year-old, yes. They're not rational.
No.
They don't understand. They have no empathy for you.
No,
they don't give a shit.
No, and you're
they
just tiptoeing
want
around.
Yeah.
waiting
for the explosion.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
trigger.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
trigger them. And you're just safeguarding yourself.
You're right.
That. It is, so you're like.
So I'm okay.
You're
I can
totally
be marshmallow.
Fine. When they get to school, that's when you've got to start putting the boundaries down.
Yes,
because
right.
otherwise they will turn into shits.
Yes.
Like my
I always
main
wonder
aim.
Whether it kind of does like happily coincide with them being slightly less cute.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that 8-year-old, they,
yeah,
they
yeah.
lose the cute
exactly.
and they get a little bit gawky
so you,
looking.
It's easier to be a bit stricter.
Yeah, yeah. Lack of teeth.
Literally
it's like,
as simple
oh, God,
as that.
They look like old people now.
Yes, massive teeth in these tiny
yeah,
mouths.
Yeah. You're just like, well, no. Get away from me. But do your homework.
The good news is you're much easier to get cross with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How funny.
No, it's like, because I've got 2 boys and my main objective is like for them to be kind and good boyfriends.
Yes.
Good husbands. Like
yeah.
if I can manage that and they can be empathetic and understanding, then I feel like I've created 2 wonderful humans.
Yeah.
Like that's all I care about.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're like really smart or are amazing at sports. I just want them to be a really good boyfriend.
Yeah.
Really?
But that's actually quite a good thing. I heard my son at nursery, apparently, they have the thing where they talk about their weekend. And
that's so cute.
What I know. And one of the little boys had been on like a roller coaster or something like that. And Zach, apparently, then they're all supposed to ask questions.
This is adult toddler time,
I know.
Oh, God.
And apparently Zach said, did your tummy go like butterflies when you were on the roller coaster?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, my God, this means he's an empathetic
yeah.
child.
Yeah, he's in touch with his
yeah,
emotions.
Yeah, because he's thought, okay, if he was on a roller coaster, this is how it feels.
Yeah.
I wonder if he felt that. I was like, oh, my God, he could be a kind person.
Yeah.
And then I thought, actually, that is all I care about,
yeah.
I think. Because actually, if they have that, then they do have intelligence. Don't
yeah,
they,
yeah. Know? Yeah, emotional intelligence.
Yeah, but
and that
could extend to anything,
yeah,
isn't it?
Because then they can read a room. They can totally like
they could
win
write
a
book. They could be in politics.
Yeah.
They could be have a great bedside manner. Do you
know
what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
You're
it's
all good.
Really important.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And I think a lot of people were shocked to see that nurturing side of me because of what we
because
do.
Because you're an actress.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And they just think, oh, well, you're all about you, and you're like, well, no, I'm. No, I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
This is more important.
Yeah.
Because I know, you know, I have insight to know if I don't do a good job now, they are going to destroy me in 20 years' time.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
forever.
So actually, in a way, I am thinking about myself.
Yeah. Completely. Because just think, no, I want them to want to be with me when I'm old and wrinkly and grey. Yeah, I want them to come back and have these fond memories of me doing a good job.
Because
I just see so many people my age that bitch and moan about their childhood and rip their parents to pieces. And it all stems from neglect.
I don't know. I sort of wonder whether we all complain, like, that's almost part of growing up.
Yeah.
That we all kind of look at our childhoods and we can all find something in it that we totally wouldn't do ourselves.
And
that we think was wrong. And like, maybe as teenagers and maybe your early 20s, you might say that was extremely damaging.
Yeah.
And then what I find really useful about having children, one of the things, is kind of realizing, they were really just doing their best.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest insight into that you can have, having children and kind of realising, oh, I know how I love my kids and I'm pretty sure my parents loved me in a similar way. And so they were just doing their best, as I am with my kid, and as undoubtedly there will be things that my kids go, you did what?
Yeah.
You know, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
You know, but you can just truck on.
There's no right or wrong, really. It's just you have to do what keeps your anxiety levels like stable, really.
Yeah.
And I think if I started to sort of like try and do everything, like I was almost had a callback for a job that was like in New Zealand and it was like a 6-year option. And a part of me was like, oh my God, done. That's my pension. That's everything.
Yeah,
that's the kids' inheritance.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And then another part of me was like, but that's 6 months every year for 6 years.
Yeah.
And he's in his school now. How would that, and would my ex even allow me to remove the children? Like, I was just having massive anxiety. Fortunately, it didn't go my way. And I like thanked the universe for that because
You didn't have to make that decision.
I didn't have to make that decision.
Yeah.
And the decision probably would have been not to do the job.
Yeah.
But that would have been like,
that would have been really hard.
Like an albatross. I've got, and now I'm like, well, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, it's just a job. Everything's temporary.
So how do you work? So I've just been talking to Laura Pulver, who obviously her partner's also an actor. And so they kind of, their decision making in terms of jobs they get and jobs they don't go for, you know, jobs they go for and jobs they don't is all about, you know, how they can kind of all spend time as a family and who can look after their son and blah, blah, blah. How does that work as a single parent?
Well, my situation is quite unique. So I live in Bath now, but I live with my parents in a lovely, lovely big house. And there's space for me. I have a floor with the boys. We shared like the kitchen and everything.
Yeah.
And luckily, like, my mum is my best friend.
Right.
So that works. It's a bit unconventional, but 100 years ago, everyone was still living with their folks because it takes a village. So the great thing about it is I think people who are looking in, who don't see how it actually works, assume that my parents are parenting me and my children.
Right.
But they are amazing in the fact that they basically are giving us shelter, but they step back and allow me to parent.
Right. Yeah.
And like, there's a bit of backseat parenting where my mum would say, well, maybe you should do this. And it's sometimes helpful, sometimes really annoying, but essentially I do it myself and I don't have to worry about the big stuff right now.
Yeah, right.
Like mortgage and things like that.
Exactly.
And I can just get my head down and look after the boys my way.
And presumably they can look after the boys if and when you get work and you want to go for something and whatever.
Yeah. And we have a conversation and I'll just say, look, I've got this job. And my mum will be like, what's the dates? Like, she just gets very panicky straight away. And I'm like, well, what have you got going on? Like, I know you're going to Spain then. And I know you're going to here, but we can sort something out. And it's like, oh, yeah, but I'm going to Spain in November for a fortnight. So, and I'm like, well, it might not fall on that. Right. OK. It's quite good living with someone who can be anxious like that because it makes me chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, right, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And it has been. Like, bizarrely, like, the year where I did not need to work, I got two amazing jobs that were great payouts, but, like, hardly needed me. I mean, one job was fantastic because the lead actress got ill, but I get kept getting booked because she might get better.
Oh,
so I had about 4 weeks like wages where I was in Bath looking after my boys, but getting paid. I mean, that was the sweetest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awful, isn't it?
But like, no, but I
but
mean,
it was. But it's exactly what I needed.
Yeah. You suddenly realise. I mean, that's the thing. You know, I do a lot of voiceovers, and that's when I sort of suddenly realise. Oh, that's what you want—the job that. Basically, you don't need to be working very much,
yeah.
slash, in your case, at all.
No, I mean, that's so rare.
And still getting paid for it. Whereas, you know, only a year or two before having kids, I would have gone, but it's so boring. I mean, I'm not, you know.
Oh, completely. So it would have been so frustrating. Like now, I was like, you know, and it was the amount of money that I'd lost in my divorce. So it was like the universe was literally just going, here you go. I love you, Kerry. Keep doing it. I don't know why they're bad Mexican accent. Awful. But yeah, it was one of those moments where, and I really am holding on to this universe thing because it is like keeping me going because I get little signs of like, you know, and you need it as a single mum because you haven't got anyone really to lean on. Like I do have, like my mum is amazing, but there are moments where I cannot burden her with too much and I need to kind of look upwards. And I wouldn't say I was religious, but I guess I'm spiritual now.
Yeah.
Like it's there and you just need those little like high five to a cloud of going, yeah, you got this.
So it's kind of like, and having a faith in yourself and, and your decisions and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And how do you, when you arrived, you mentioned the thing at the school gates where you scare people off when you're a single mum.
Yeah, yeah.
Explain that.
Well, first they're in awe of you because you're like this creature and they are struggling because they're having to negotiate with another person about how to parent. And it is like war zone sometimes. I can see it. I can spot the divorces. I'm like, they're on the rocks.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. And I'm relieved because I'm just like, it's just me making the decisions. Yeah, it's so streamlined. It's really economic and effective being single.
Yeah.
Because you just have, if you're militant and you go, I got to do this, and this, you haven't got anyone cross-examining you going, well, maybe you should do it. Oh, I don't know. That could have disaster effect of their
but
life.
You do still have your mum and other people to kind of like
because
that's sometimes quite useful, isn't it? To kind of what like talk things
fact
through
checked.
And yeah.
And there's a WhatsApp group with the mums. Like every now and again, we kind of go, is it okay if they have a slight rash under the?
Yeah.
And one of them's a GP, so she's amazing.
Great.
She'll just go, that's totally fine. And like that WhatsApp group is brilliant because they'll.
What's that from? NCT or something?
No, I remember going to the school gate for the first time, having like one of those parents sessions when you meet everyone.
Yeah.
And this great woman, Annabelle, she's like the alpha mum. She's so lovely, but she sort of honed in on me. It's like, you're new? And I was like, yes!
Yeah.
Because they all knew each other from the preschool. And I was coming in. I was like, I don't want to turn. She's like, give me your number. I've got a WhatsApp group so everyone knows each other, pickups and all like that.
Right.
And then she gave me the best advice. She's like, word of advice, be nice, Bath is small. And I instantly felt a little bit affronted because I was just like, do I not come across nice? But she's absolutely right. Bath is really small.
Right.
So just be nice. You know.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
I was like, yikes.
In this interchange, you think I might be a bitch.
Yes.
Fuck.
But that's like the classic insecure reading of that comment.
Completely.
Here you say,
yeah, totally. Every time I'm like, oh, shit, I'm horrible.
So my mum was a single mum and I feel like my expectations of parenthood are so different because I grew up around a single mum.
Yeah.
In the sense that I sort of quite enjoy, I explained this to a friend recently where I was like, if I'm around lots of sort of family, I only realised this literally a couple of weeks ago. If I'm around lots of families, lots of sort of 2.4 families, it makes me feel quite uncomfortable and I want to throw a grenade into the middle of the room. And I do usually then say something quite embarrassing or something quite shocking because I'm like, yeah, come on, guys, let's shake it up a bit. Because it can get quite smug, boringly smug in that sort of framework.
Yeah.
How do you feel in that? Do you quite enjoy disrupting all that, or do you sort of feel like, no, I see myself being in a relationship further down the road, and is that something you aspire? Well, like, how does it work?
I mean, I'm in awe of people who can stay together and can function in a happy way. Yeah. Like I just think they're amazing. Like families that can stay together and be healthy.
Right.
I'm literally in awe of them. But I generally think it probably takes the length you are with the relationship. It probably takes half of that for you to get over it and grieve it.
Yeah.
And find yourself again.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you don't give that time and purpose to heal, you're going to meet the same kind of person because you're still in tune to that pattern of living.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does take time to break that and to find... And like, literally, like, I didn't have any hobbies because before then, acting was my hobby. Yeah. And then the children. And then I was just like, what do I used to... I used to love art.
Right.
I used to go to art galleries and I used to be really... Like, my knowledge was prolific. But now it's, like, gone. So that's something that I know that I need to kind of nurture, but I'm also really intimidated by it because so much has happened in 10 years. Like, I don't know where to begin.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the news. You're like, I can't turn the news on because I haven't caught up. You know, you constantly binge watching the news. And if you don't watch the news, it's just like, well, you know, I'm just...
I mean, you cannot watch the news for 24 hours right now and then you can suddenly turn it on and you feel completely out of it.
No, my news is Thomas the Tank Engine. Tippy Po, which is some Netflix I can't stand it.
Yes.
My boys love trains and it's just, they love it. It's their smack.
Yes.
They just can't get enough of those engines.
I've got one of those. Oh, yeah.
Right.
I can't imagine two.
Stick with it because it's going to last a long time.
Yeah.
Possibly a decade.
Strap in.
Yeah, strap in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I find myself when I like walking down, like, there's a train bridge and a train goes by and I'm without my kids, but I literally internally I'm going, train!
Yeah.
And it's there. It's like a nervous tick. And I'm half an, like a second away from shouting it out loud. But I will be that old woman that does that. It's just...
I totally know what you mean. Yeah.
It's that excitement.
And
that
it's almost like, God, it's so wasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like,
they
would have loved that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny.
You can't. You're so in tune with them and their joy.
Yeah.
Because if you can have that and harness that, you're having a great day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even at that one moment, you're like, oh, we did that.
Thank God.
That happened.
So how has being a parent affected your relationship with your mum? Has it made you look at her in a different way or?
Yeah, I mean, I've always appreciated her. Like, I think I've always been a coffee morning daughter.
Right.
At like seven.
Yeah.
Like sat round listening to the aunties talk about all their husbands and how crap they are.
Yeah.
I've always been like, oh God, yeah, that's terrible. No.
Yeah.
Mm. So I've always been aware that my mum did everything. She did everything. I mean, my dad would leave early in the morning and then come back and, you know, I'd be very excited to see my dad because he'd go past the garage and he'd have Mars bars.
Yeah.
And it would be literally like, I didn't really care about him coming through the door. It's like, what's going on inside your blazer? What's that there? Is that a bit of a, yep, get out. And that was all about the chocolate.
Yeah.
She'd never have done that. Because before we loved seeing him and then as soon as she puts sweets
like,
in, it's
forget
like,
forget about it.
Yeah,
you're
done.
I'm just interested in what's in this chocolate.
What's in the inside pocket? Yeah, I kind of realised she did everything and she enlisted me as soon as I was willing. Like, unfortunately, she had an operation. So I was 8 at the time and she had cysts removed. So she was sort of on the sofa for a few days and she talked me through making a chili con carne because she had to make dinner because he was out to work and like she had like three of us and I was the most cooperative, like Daniel and Russell were playing football and I was like watching her massaging her. Like, I was like looking back, it's really creepy, Kerry, like for God's sake. But Russell and Daniel wouldn't play with me and my mum gave me so much and like she was on her own so I was her company and so it's weird because like now it's like it's gone cyclical because it's like we're still back together again and it just feels like it is home. But I realised that probably she should have shared the chores out a little bit more. She tried at the beginning, and then as soon as they were sort of like teenagers, it was too difficult to force them to do. But I think now, because there's no daughter, thank God, I would want them to be non-gender specific in their roles of what they did.
Yeah.
But like I say to my eldest, I say, this is a helping house. And you know, he has to put his plate after he's finished and put it on the side where the dishwasher is. It's just starting those little... Yeah. And it is hard work.
Easier to do it yourself.
Because Callie's 2.5. I do everything for him because he's 2.5.
Yeah.
And Paul wears watches and it's like... But and I'm like, yeah, but he is a toddler. And trust me, he will be working when he could understand.
Yeah.
But it's tough at that. It's tough at my eldest to kind of like understand that he's got to do a bit of work whilst this one gets away with it.
Yeah.
But it's like, if I do it now, then I've got helpers.
Yeah.
Like, I'm ready to move out and get my own property, I want to be able to share it. Yeah. And I want them to feel responsible for the house.
But also, I feel quite conscious, especially with boys. I don't want my son to expect a woman to always do that for him and my daughter to think that that's what she needs to do around,
Because that's what you subconsciously learn. Like my mum was the homemaker.
Yeah.
And so therefore, and they are woke boys, but that's got to be in the back of their heads. Yeah. Well, dad never did it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going out of work.
Yeah.
And it's like, you've got to kind of break that cycle.
Yeah.
And I sort of say to my eldest, because he gets upset when I do go to work, and I'm like, yeah, but I go really short times.
Yeah.
And I go back and I make loads of money, and then I come back and I get to buy stuff.
We get to hang out.
Yeah, it's always about buy stuff.
Yeah. That's...
Christmas, I get to help buy Father Christmas presents for you.
Yeah.
It's a weird relationship I've got going on with Father Christmas. We're working together.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, the thing is, if they don't realise that mummy is buying the stuff because she's going away and working, they don't understand. Like, why are you going?
No, I agree. I think
so. They kind of have to know that mum's in the hand of those gifts.
Yeah. Yes, I see what you mean. Yeah. It does.
Because otherwise, this fictional fucker takes all the credit, and you sweat your fucking ass off, and you cry when you have to leave them, and you get no credit for all. You know, it's your hard work and your sacrifice.
Father Christmas.
Yeah, he does,
I'm going to take the credit for Santa, so fuck you all.
Yeah. I mean, like, we go along with it. Like, he exists.
Yeah.
But,
But he's mummy's your helper.
Yeah, mummy supplements.
Yeah, right. That's so good.
He's on mum's payroll.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's funny, we used to always have a thing where we'd get, like... Yeah, you're right. We'd get, like, a present, like a big present from my mum and dad and whatever, but we would get like little things in our stocking, which is from Father Christmas.
Yeah,
but yet she never got any credit for that.
No, and it's like slowly you realise, like, now I know that, like, my mum did all the shopping and dad, like, obviously was the main breadwinner, so mum could buy these stuff, like the toys and stuff, but like she organised it and put it all together. Like Christmas is a lot of work for the primary carer, because they're the ones taking in the information, fielding what the kids want, and it changes, especially building up to Christmas on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And then you're like, fuck, I got the wrong present.
Yeah.
What do I do? Yeah. It's hard to deal with Christmas.
Yeah.
As they get older.
So so how do you deal... Sorry to keep coming back to this, but I'm interested on a personal level as well. How do you deal with Christmas with your ex and the kids? And is that quite thorny?
It is, I've been lucky in I've been able to keep them at home on Christmas Day. So I haven't had to do that yet.
Yeah.
It's probably on the road at some point.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen this year, which again is a relief, because, you know, at the moment they've always had Christmas with me. So and they're so little, and they do see him over Christmas, and they basically have two Christmases.
Because
they always did Christmas out of sync anyway. So on his side.
So it
was never like, it has to be this day.
No, exactly, because that's what families tend to do now anyway.
We'll do ours because everyone has to own Christmas, which kind of pisses me off a little.
Do you know what? Me too. And I've grown up in a house where we had two Christmases.
Yeah. And I understand that with a dad and a mum. Get that. Of course. But why the grandparents have to fucking own Christmas?
I know. You had then it gets time. Extended and extended. And so before you know it, you're having a Christmas, the Christmas whatever you have on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Then you have another Christmas with, like, your partner's family.
Yeah.
Then you might have another thing with, like, because your sister-in-law hasn't been there for the...
Yeah.
Know. So you can end up having, like, four... meals.
Yeah.
And actually...
And four sacks.
The only... As you say, it's really hard work. So that's loads more food and energy that goes into that and presents. You know, before it's like, unless you see them on Christmas Day, nothing.
Yeah, yeah. You just turn up you go and you have a tea.
Maybe take some chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
But now it's this social obligation that everyone has to... Like, I mean, 1 year, my boys had four sacks... And I was just like, no, they will be cunts.
Yeah, yeah.
Please don't do that to them.
Yeah.
Because they will have no value of anything.
Exactly.
And it's like, and I know, like, my older brother's very rich and very generous. And I'm just like, just give us an experience because I can't match your gifts.
Yeah.
I have to win Christmas. I do. I'm their mum. Yeah, I have to win it.
Yeah,
and you know, and now I've got a new competition with the dad. And now I've kind of took solace in the fact that, like, it's not a competition anymore.
No.
And it's just, I have to make it nice for them on my time. And obviously they will have a lovely time with him on his time.
Yeah.
And that's got nothing to do with me and vice versa.
Yeah.
And let's hope everyone's happy with that.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, I don't want to spend any time going, I hope he fucks up, you know, because that's
because also
really
you want them to have a nice time. Yes. Don't you? That's the idea.
Like when they come home happy, I'm like so happy.
Yeah.
And when they've come home sad, it's like, this is not good.
Yeah.
And you're like, there, you could co-parent. It could happen.
Yeah.
And I hear of these mythological creatures that are called the co-parenters.
Yeah.
And I have yet to meet one. I mean, I'm sure they exist, but I think it takes a couple of years.
What was it
to get there?
Gwyneth Paltrow said, consciously uncoupling.
Yeah. Subconsciously,
it's really hard. I remember even as a kid.
But I think that is bullshit.
Yeah, I do too. And I remember thinking as child, I remember having a friend at school. I didn't know very many single parents or kids of divorced parents.
And also back then, like, I remember there was like two kids that were from and it was very much, she's single. And it was like a bad, it had a real stigma. They're divorced.
Yes.
Like, being divorced was a really bad thing in the 80s.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, so kind of cool.
So two things. Yes, yeah, so first of all, I remember talking to this girl, you know, as a young child, and her saying, yes, my parents are split up, but they're still best friends.
Yeah.
And they still see each other all the time and talk all the time. And I remember as a kid thinking, that would annoy me.
That would be very confusing.
Yeah.
It's like, because, if you can get on, why don't you just stay together?
Yeah. And when I hear people talk like that, I just think...
That's a confusing message to the
children.
That's
a really confusing message, because if you are best friend, if that's true, so it's clearly not.
It's not.
If it's true, then you're telling your child that you don't stick at something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like better to say, maybe more painful, but to say... Yeah, we really can't get along, and we love you, and that's what makes us, you know, connect or whatever.
Yeah.
But this just doesn't work for us.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make us happy. That's harder to say because your kids are looking at you going, "Why not?" You know? But that's the thing.
You have to be very, very, like, uncomplicated about it. My 5-year-old sometimes asks, and I just sort of say, "Well, we don't love each other anymore, but we do love you."
Yeah.
And I know he loves you. Like, I always reinforce him with love from both sides.
Yeah.
Because if you, I've heard some people sort of talk about their ex in front of the children.
Yeah.
And it's just really but you then can't go, you shouldn't do that. You just, it's so, but you're like, I can't do that.
And also, I mean, I remember this as a kid, and also having other people around. So, you know, aunts and uncles and other people then, like, either go quiet when your parent, the other parent, is mentioned in front of, you know, which was very ominous.
Yeah.
Or say bad things.
Yeah.
And it is the worst thing as a kid.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, whatever, they love, but they want to be allowed to love.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah. Like, my code is like, it's like, if anything is said, which is positive, I just go, okay, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
And then it's, we kind of move on back into the present.
Yeah, because
then you don't want to sort of dwell on something that is not there.
No, yeah.
Because it's like, let's talk about a dead person all the time.
Yes, no, exactly.
It's not helpful when they're little.
Yeah. And also, it's hard for you, presumably, as well. Like, you can't just talk about how amazing their dad is all the time.
No.
I mean, not be like, counter, yeah.
Because it's like, well, yeah, it's like a rabbit hole. You're like,
Yeah. Going back to what we were talking about, were you saying maybe some people sort of seeing a single mother as a threat?
Well, it's not even almost like, I get some mums that are just like, you're amazing. And I could see the glint in their eye of like, I want to be like you. Like, it looks like, I think they think I have more freedom and that, you know, one mum very early on was like, I was like, oh, I had a weekend without my kids. And it was really hard the first weekend.
Yeah,
I was on the floor. And she just went, oh God, that's the dream, isn't it? That's the dream. And obviously, but she didn't know my situation or anyone's, because in her head, she's overworked, overstretched, parenting all the time, 24/7, even though she's got a husband, but they're both in the trenches. So no one gets a break.
Yeah.
So they can fantasize about people co-parenting and doing part-time like childcare seems. And I remember being in my relationship,
making you feel better, doesn't she? Or like wants to make you.
But it's that naivety, because I remember being in my relationship and fantasizing about how easy it would be to be divorced and have your children part-time.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh gosh, every other weekend to get a break. Wouldn't that be great? And in reality, it isn't great.
No.
It's an awful thing to kind of like go through, and to kind of like adult as well. It puts an awful strain on the kids. On like, there's ugliness aside, because people aren't getting their fair dibs, and your children become possessions and commodities to be argued over.
Yeah.
And it's just, there isn't a, I don't know if there's a right way. I haven't found it.
It's really hard.
It's really hard. And you have to keep functioning. And then when people sort of say those sort of vapid comments, you can't really take, because they're naive and they don't understand that they've upset you, and it's not their fault, because they don't know what you've been going through.
Like, and actually, by saying that, they're trying to
make you feel good. But yeah, that was like my first of like, don't always overshare, Kerry. Like, that was a good lesson for me to kind of go, choose the people who understand.
Who are safe in terms of talking.
Because I wanted a, that's what I wanted.
Yeah,
I didn't want a, well, what are you complaining about?
Yeah, your lucky thing.
Yeah. But for me, that was, at that point, was not what
you needed.
No, but people don't, you know, when they don't advertise the response they want.
No, of course not. No.
So you just kind of, I mean, really, we should have like these sensory t-shirts that just,
the different
I may
colours.
Be saying this thing, but this
but
is
I,
the opposite.
This is what I need.
This is what I need.
Yeah.
Because often it is always the opposite of what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And also, especially with parenting and having kids, people just project their own reality on top of yours.
Yeah.
So they don't actually listen.
No.
And hear what you're saying or what your situation might be.
Yeah.
They just think, and also I think there's a kind of like weird need to kind of
pacify everything and make it uncomplicated.
Yes, and kind of
and
like,
not
I
scary.
Don't want to deal with, you know, we were talking a bit earlier as well about comparing it when you first arrived, and we were saying, oh, it's quite nice to have the opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's a bit like therapy.
Yeah.
And I felt that when I went on Griefcast, and I felt that as well. It was like, oh, it's quite nice to just sit and talk about death for it. And it sounds awful, but you know, it's when you're ticking over in your head all the time, if you've lost someone really close to you. So it's quite nice to just go, and let it out.
Yeah.
And you know, similarly with grief, and probably with like, you know, the end of a relationship that people are so scared of it because they don't want to go down that road and like envisage what that might feel like for them.
Yeah.
that they want to just go, oh, well, how brilliant for you.
Yeah. Oh, you know, make a positive spin.
Yeah.
And to
which
be
is a
fair,
bit like with death.
I generally
like,
do yeah. sort of like go, oh, it's great. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
And like, I am actually. But like, I don't bore people with the details of like it is exhausting sometimes.
Yeah,
because you want to feel like you're winning your life and
yeah.
you've made the right decision. And I mean, yeah, it is difficult to talk about, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be honest about it.
Yeah.
I'd love to meet another person that's like had a happy divorce.
Exactly. Like, though. I mean, there's no such thing.
No.
Hello? I made a long car.
For me, the game changer was when I joined Babington House in the summer. So now, when I don't have my children every Sunday, I go there.
That's
and they wife
idea.
Me. you know, the service is impeccable and it's just like, oh, it's so lovely. And you're like surrounded by countryside and I just feel like, like I can excel and like gather myself
and then really pamper yourself and look after yourself.
Yeah, and then get ready for Monday and for the rest of the like, yeah. you know, 6 days on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, okay. But before that, I didn't have that gathering time.
Yeah.
I just had the worry time.
Yeah.
And now it's like, there's nothing I can do. So like that would be my advice to single mums. It's like when you don't have your children, you have no control.
Yeah.
So you have to release and
yeah.
let go
yeah.
and look after yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of get most of your admin stuff done while you're looking after the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the house, get the laundry, all that stuff. You can integrate that in your childcare.
Yeah.
And then when you have that time off, do nothing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Just relax.
Yeah.
Because I started to write and then I was putting pressure on myself of like, this is my one day to work.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this isn't healthy.
No, I should be really, yeah.
Yeah. Just That's doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Swimming and looking at a tree. Like I'm a mad woman. And then talking to anybody in the sauna. Really weird. Really creepy, weird,
and also,
sweaty
especially
woman.
If you might not have spoken to... My thing is definitely with like with young babies particularly
yeah.
was like... If I haven't spoken to an adult
no.
for quite a long time, and
no.
I'm quite a talker, as are you.
Yes. Terrible.
If you then get me on one of those days, it's like in my head, I can see what's happening.
Yeah.
And my mouth is moving and I'm talking, but there is nothing I can do
no,
to stop. And
yeah.
I can see your face slightly pleading with me, wanting to go. And again, there's nothing I can...
No.
Yeah. No, no.
No.
Like, so what... these are the questions I always ask people.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything, any bad advice anyone's ever given you or comment that you sort of thought about afterwards and thought that was crap?
I think like the term robust and a baby is like makes it's like, you know, like when someone's scratching, what's the freaking blackboard? Like every time I hear robust and a baby, I just want to scream.
Yeah.
Because... You know, when you first hold your newborn baby, there's nothing fucking robust
no.
about this thing that's just a mound of bone and flesh. And it's just like, it needs you for months. Like,
yeah.
it can't sustain itself for years. Like, it's not robust.
No.
So please don't say my baby is robust if it's fallen off the bed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine. It's robust. And then recount on, like, this is the thing. When people use that word, they then think it's an opportunity just to say all the awful things they did to their child.
Yep.
And
yeah.
the child turned out fine. And you're like, no, they really didn't, Ellen. They're in therapy. So maybe you shouldn't have like chucked the baby off the bed. I know accidents happen.
Yeah.
And it's like way of, for it's sort of survivalist is like to make yourself feel better. Because we do fuck up on a regular
yeah,
basis.
But it's another way of not validating your feelings.
Yeah.
So if you're saying, I feel grief or I feel fear for my
yeah.
child or whatever it is,
yeah.
it's a way of going, I feel uncomfortable with you feeling that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you all the reasons why you shouldn't feel
yeah.
that, which
yeah.
is like
they're robust.
Useless.
So stop
yeah.
your
stop
anxiety
yeah.
and stop your hypervigilance and
yeah.
stop being neurotic. It's like, but I feel this because I love.
Yeah.
It's all coming from love. And like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't think I've ever met a mum after a few weeks that's like, yeah, they're robust. Like, no, I don't think I have. We all have the mad eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, and we all have different things that we have the mad eyes about.
Yeah.
That's the thing as well.
Yeah.
Because there are some things I'm, like, horribly relaxed about, but then other things that will freak me out.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's, for me, it's like coats. Zip the coats up. Like, it's always been that, and, like,
yeah,
layers.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, oh, God, I just, so many arguments of, like, zip, zip, zip.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a no-brainer now. It's a no-brainer. Just do the zipper.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the micromanaging in a relationship with a child. That can be very hard.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you want that shorthand and you want that knowledge that you've said to be received and learnt. And then the next week, the knowledge changes. And for that to be received and learnt, not, well, it was that last week.
Yeah.
That is a very common problem. It's like, no, this is the arguments we do not need to have.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think, like, there's no parenting course at school,
no, no,
which I think has to be there.
Yeah.
And, like, relationships, like, educations is not there. Like, what's healthy?
You know what? It's
toxic.
Funny. I've had this conversation quite a lot because I think I've had loads of therapy in my life.
Yeah.
Like, my parents had it. It was in the 80s and all my family have had it. And I...
Gosh, you're very...
I'm still slightly don't understand when people don't. Or
yeah.
I remember going out with someone, a comedian, who said... I remember telling him about my dear therapist at the time, who was very wise and brilliant. And he said, I just still can't believe you pay someone to give you advice. As if my life was so bleak that was the thing. And... I was thinking about that the other day. I think that's such a sad thing to be so removed from the idea that any kind of self-analysis is useful.
Yeah.
But with that said, I sort of feel like, why don't healthy couples have therapy? Because that'd be quite good. Because sometimes it's not about make or break.
No.
Actually, most of the time it's about going,
it's the little
how
stuff.
Do we get through this little argument that we always have in a way that, like...
doesn't catastrophize our whole life.
Or make us feel like we're not understood or that we're arseholes. We're not arseholes. We're just trying to do the same thing and we just keep coming up against the same... It's about conflict resolution, isn't it?
It is. But some people can feel like if you're going to couples therapy, then it's the end.
Oh, God, it's real taboo if you were to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, like, it's weird. You're either the school of you're open, which I am, an open heart, which is too much, or you're of the school of don't tell anyone your problems.
Yeah.
It's behind closed doors. And I think that is quite, like, negative and really dangerous behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Because I just kind of think, like, share it all. And, like, the sanctity of marriage, I hate that phrase.
Yeah.
Because you're not a church. Like, come on now. Just talk about your stuff because there might be some stuff in there that's not right.
Yeah.
And if you just share it, someone go, flag it up and go, eh. Or they might go, he's all right.
Yeah, that's okay. That's quite normal.
Yeah. Because a lot of my friends are like, my partner says this. Does it mean? And I'm like, no. You're fine.
Yeah.
Arguments are good.
Yeah.
They're healthy.
Yeah.
Every day, no.
Yeah.
Like, there's a balance.
There's a sliding scale.
There's a sliding scale.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What would be your advice to either someone about to have a baby or particularly somebody embarking single motherhood?
Oh, God. I think that's it. Well, unless you want a sperm donor and you're going to be a single mum. And
Well, I know a couple of people that
choice.
Yeah.
I would say, like, army up, like, get your support network, family, friends, but also there's loads of groups out there. Like, I did a great group called Moving On Up, which I thought it was going to be a talking circle about how to get over your situation, but it was literal. It was like moving on up, moving through the space, and, like, they would turn on, like, dolphin music and we would just, like, move through the space and connect to the actress in the room. Like, most of the women are, like, normal women, like doing normal jobs and stuff and stay at home mums, really embarrassed, really intimidated, and I'm like going full Goldie Hawn in House Sitter, like I loved it. I got a lot out of that. But I met some incredible women that were in worse situations of me, and we were just sharing, and it was just like you felt heard and understood. So it's like there is a big community out there, so just reach out within your location, and beware of the mumsplainers, and that is mum explaining stuff that you know, and just take it with a grin. Like, you're grinning at me now, like, I know what mumsplaining is.
No, I didn't. I've never heard that phrase before, and I love it.
But it's so true.
It's
you
so
go
good.
And you go to your nursery, like, mums, and they will mumsplain you straight away.
Yes.
And you, and what you do is you go, oh, I haven't thought of giving him Calpol.
Yeah.
I'll try that. And in your brain, you're going, I fucking know that.
Yeah.
But you're being civil, being polite. And I found myself the other day mumsplaining to someone. And I was like, oh, God, I can't help. Because we can't help ourselves to try and be helpful.
Yeah, of
course. But most mums know common
that.
Sense.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I'm guilty of mumsplaining.
That's a very, very good tip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be wary of it and know that it happens and know that you will be that. When you're a mum, because you are fulfilled with like knowledge, and anything that you do is like, well, I've discovered a new mountain, and you haven't. You've just discovered a hot flannel that works with a fever.
Yeah,
but you're like, oh, this is wonderful. I'm a genius.
Thank you so much to Kerry Howard for coming to talk to me. We had a lovely old time and it was very enjoyable to listen back to it and relive those laughs and truths and everything. Anyway, next time I will be talking to actor, singer, welder Anna Mann as a special Christmas edition, so please tune in for that. Her children, Mahogany and the Maharaja, are both adults, so she has more perspective, perhaps. That will be out just before Christmas. Anyway, I hope you are enduring the Christmas onslaught, and I will see you in a few weeks.
Bye bye.